Okay, City Council will come back from break. And just a reminder to everyone, we have... just a reminder, everyone, the same reminder we give before every policy consideration that includes a vote is this is the People's Chamber, and as such, we have just a few protocols to make sure that all points of view are welcome. We actually welcome differing points of view, and so to make sure that everyone feels welcome, there's no utterances, there's no noise. If you like something, feel free to do a thumbs up or your version of it. If you don't like something, feel free to do, one day I'll learn that, I really will, do a thumbs down. The other thing is, out of courtesy for folks sitting behind you, you're absolutely free to put your signs in front of your chest. That's great, but if you could, keep them down so folks behind you can see, and it also helps to ensure that the security folks can see all the way to the back of the room. If you're here to speak for yourself, we only need to hear your first and last name. We don't want your address. We don't want your email. We don't want your phone number, just your first and last name. If you're a lobbyist, if you're speaking, authorized to speak on anyone's behalf, then by local law, we ask that you disclose that you're a lobbyist. That could be for a company. That could be for a nonprofit. Let us know if you're a lobbyist. Today, we are considering items 1376 and 1377. Last week, Commissioner Fish, Commissioner Fritz, and myself also took testimony on just general comments related to the Police Bureau and or Occupy Portland today. It is comments about these two issues, and I'm going to keep us to these two issues. So I need to see evidence when you approach the mic that you're actually talking about some details of these two issues before us. And so with that, how many people have signed up?
So far we have about 20.
Okay, so it'll be 2 minutes each like last time. And can you please read the titles for item number 1376 and 1377?
1376, accept report on recommendations regarding the Portland Police Bureau. And 1377, establish the authority for the Citizen Review Committee to make policy recommendations directly to the Portland Police Bureau, increase the length of term served by Citizen Review Committee members, and clarify procedures of the Citizen Review Committee in hearing appeals from community and bureau members.
So also today, Irene, where's Irene? Okay. So when Irene comes back, I will introduce her. Irene Konev is the IPR, Independent Police Review Outreach Coordinator, and is here and has complaint forms. Folks that testified last time at our last hearing talked about abuse by the police, mistreatment by the police. We take those kinds of concerns and complaints very seriously, and we want you to fill out a complaint form so that we can investigate those. She would be happy to walk through with you with that. Irene works for the auditor. The auditor is an independently elected official in the city of Portland. Mary Beth Batista, who is the IPR director, is hired and fired by the independently elected auditor, and this is Irene. So raise your hand. Can everyone see Irene? Raise your hand if you want a complaint form. Anybody? Okay. If you could feel free to walk around, Irene. You can walk around, and we have brochures as well. So what we're talking about today is a report from the Portland Police Bureau and an ordinance and code changes from the auditor's office relating to the auditor's independent police review division. The Portland Police Bureau report gathers together the Bureau's responses to three different sets of recommendations that have been submitted from community groups and stakeholders. Some date back 6 years, I think, Pastor Beth will talk to me, and it gives detailed responses in the report from the Portland Police Bureau where we are with those reforms. Since I've been police commissioner and Chief Reese has been police chief for the past 16 months, we've worked hard on instilling in the police bureau fortifying in the police bureau a commitment to community policing and a commitment to continuous improvement. The IPR amendments, which we'll talk about in a minute, those seek to, after we have more time and experience with the independent police review system, we have the ability to continue to refine it and clarify it, and so you'll see some of those. Since we last met, I want to acknowledge and thank everyone who has contributed to some of the final polishing on the work today. These sets of reforms have been out in various forms or fashion for 5 weeks. This will be our fourth hearing, and I'm going to ask the council at the end of the hearing to vote on the code changes today if they so choose, and I'll be supporting such an endeavor. With that, I would like to introduce the auditor, or Mary Beth Batista, who will present the IPR amendments. And then we have some other amendments as well. And then after we get everything amended, then that'll serve as the basis for public testimony.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. I'm Mary Beth Batista. I am the director of the Portland City Auditor's Independent Police Review Division. I submitted a proposed amendment to the city code revisions that I had initially submitted on November 22nd. And this amendment is due to the afternoon discussion on November 16th, 2011, of the public safety recommendations. During that public testimony, a community member made a recommendation regarding the auditor's proposed city code changes. After further review and discussion with the chair of the Citizen Review Committee, the auditor and I are proposing an amendment to the revisions we submitted. Specifically, the amendment pertains to 3.21.160(a)(1)(a) hearing appeals. Language has been added that explicitly provides the Citizen Review Committee the option of recommending further investigation by either Internal Affairs or IPR at the appeal hearing.
And for the City Council, you have we have a copy of the proposed revised ordinance. You just handed it out. And the black strikeout and underlines represent the auditor's changes, and for ease of consideration, the mayor's changes are in underline and strikeout in red. Did you pass those out? It's the back of that. Okay. All right. Are there, so I would move the amendment.
Second.
Should I substitute? No, move the set of amendments contained in the December 9th 2011 memo. Did I make that the right? Is that the right thing to reference?
I submitted a memo to council on November 22nd, 2011 that included this amendment, and then my understanding is that you have now incorporated that into the overall document that's in front of council today.
Okay. So both the original amendments from the auditor and subsequent amendments that we worked on in the mayor's office, I move that we make those amendments now to serve as the basis for further consideration.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any council discussion? Carla, can you please call the roll on the proposal to amend?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
This puts the revised proposal on the table for discussion. It doesn't approve anything other than doing that. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. All right. So... anything, any other discussion with Director Batista?
Not unless council has questions.
Okay.
And I just wanted to clarify in the piece that you just talked about in having, making clear that the committee can hear new information and ask for it to go back to the independent police review or the internal affairs review, there will be administrative rules put forward to say exactly how that gets done, and that they then get to report back to the committee as to what the internal affairs does with that.
That's right. The Citizen Review Committee has an appeals work group, and Assistant Director Constantine Sevier is the staff person assigned to that. They hold public meetings to revise the protocols surrounding appeals. They have held off on the last protocol regarding appeals going to council and such, and they will be revising that. And the procedures in place can be easily addressed in those protocols.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Carla, let's start going through public testimony. Okay. And we'll come back and have additional discussion after public testimony.
The first four, please come on up, are Jackie Miller, David Burgess, Miriam German, and Jeremy Graber. And they'll be followed by Dan Handelman, Benjamin Manley, Scott Hibbets, and Marcia Myers.
Jackie Miller had to leave to take Justin Bridges to the doctors.
Okay, so the next one.
With Dan Handelman.
Mr. Handelman. All right, so would you like to begin, sir?
Yes. Good morning, everyone. My name is David Burgess. I'm here to testify against the police brutality that we received. Several of my protesters.
I need to hear within the first couple of words, folks. You testified last time as well.
Yes.
I need to hear you speaking to something in these two council items.
Sure. November the 2nd, and as well as several other days, me and several other protesters were abused. Just want to let you know that I particularly don't have any trust with the police department. Myself and just myself on several different scenes have seen certain different actions of police taking more power than they need to practically to teenagers and then to older adults as well. And I just want to say that I was the only person arrested on, I believe the date was November the 2nd, and I feel like I was blatantly targeted. And I had a sign in my hand. I was just having freedom. I think I had said peace and love to all people. And I was targeted and I was arrested. I was the only person arrested.
So I need you to thank you for your testimony. You gave a similar testimony last week. Appreciate that. Encourage you to file a complaint.
Yes.
Mr. Handelman.
Mr. Mayor, I was wondering if I could get 5 minutes today. Since there are new amendments on the floor that weren't on the floor last week.
Sure.
Thank you. Mayor Adams and commissioners, we've been following IPR since before its creation, and the first time we ever heard the assertion that CRC's role is to review the process and not the evidence was when Commissioner Fish stated that in council chambers 2 weeks ago. That assertion did not come up in the original testimony of the ordinance. It was not stated in the orientations for new CRC members. It was never used at a stakeholder group meeting and to argue against the proposed changes to the system. The ordinance creating IPR states the city should respond to complaints, so, quote, services are improved and trust in government is restored, and stresses the system be, quote, perceived as fair by participants and the community. It's difficult for us to understand then why council, the auditor, and the city attorney are reluctant to make some basic common sense changes to the IPR structure. Most urgently, the mayor's new proposal will restrict the CRC and take away some of the only power they have. In a system that people already feel is designed with too much police involvement to be independent, taking away CRC's power will lead to more community mistrust. At a time, the city needs to build confidence in its police and oversight system, as evidenced by these folks who are trying to tell you about that. The mayor's changes do not respond to the calls to change the standard of review, which trace back to the 2008 Luna Fireball report. Rather, they would forbid CRC from considering new information presented during appeals hearings when deciding whether an officer violated policy, instead forcing the board to send the case back to internal affairs for more investigation. Currently, CRC uses its discretion whether to use new information to formulate a new finding, send a case back for more investigation, or accept the original finding. In 2002, an officer admitted to an act of misconduct at a CRC hearing, saying she probably did not call the appellant ignorant, but probably called her stupid.
Did you say 2002?
2002. At other times, CRC's recommendations have simply been to add a debriefing to non-sustained findings. In some cases, the new information has led CRC to support the original findings. The mayor's proposal is far too restrictive. Why would any citizen complainant want to bring their police misconduct appeal to a supposedly independent body so powerless that it would always be forced to return the case to the same agency that harmed them in the first place? The mayor's own nominee, CRC Chair Jamie Troy, came to this body asking to give CRC a standard review that was less deferential to the police. He was relating a unanimous opinion from the committee itself. When the next batch of CRC members is sworn in, there will be four former or current lawyers. Yet the city keeps insisting that CRC does not have the capability to weigh the evidence in these administrative hearings. The city's attitude is reflective of something the auditor told us when we tried to find common ground on the stakeholder recommendations. If we said no, the answer is no. That is not how elected officials should be responding to community members. As a historical note, at the request of the previous auditor and IPR director in June 2003, council took away CRC's ability to select its new members, one of several such power struggles that led to the resignation of five members that August. It appears that council is being fed faulty information from people who, for some reason, have an interest in keeping the CRC from achieving its full potential. For example, Deputy City Attorney Wobrell believes CRC members spend only half an hour reviewing files prior to appeals hearings. That's not our understanding. Most CRC members listen to all of the recorded interviews, in addition to reading transcripts and case summaries at Internal Affairs. We may be among CRC's harshest critics, but we're also their biggest fans. We put forward a number of compromise ideas that nobody has expressed any credible opposition for, and they should be on the table today. Among those are fixing the mayor's new proposed language by stating CRC can consider undisputed information when deciding whether a finding is supported by the evidence, creating a mechanism for CRC to complete a hearing if Internal Affairs refuses to do further investigation, which had happened just last year, and fixing the mayor's other language about the scope of council appeals so they can look at documents relating to CRC's hearings, not just listen to recordings. We also proposed adding as many as two non-voting members of CRC who could participate in work groups and fill midterm vacancies. We also have several other items which you'll see in my written testimony, previous and current. The Citizens Law Enforcement Review Board in San Diego County has 11 volunteer members, which their staff of four, which is five less than IPR has, does not find unwieldy. The City of San Diego's review body has 23 volunteer members, with 12 more brought on for training. The County Board votes on proposed recommendations based on the preponderance of the evidence about misconduct allegations. The director there works at the will of the board, who hires and can fire him. It is amazing how many stakeholder recommendations are being rejected arbitrarily when with one phone call we could find two review bodies with some of the very attributes we're asking for in Portland. Last year, the changes made to the ordinance were deliberately made to IPR and not to CRC to allow CRC to ask for its own changes. Several of their recommendations are being ignored. We urge council to see the growing discontent among people who initially had a very good relationship with the Bureau and see it as a sign that people want community members deciding what is appropriate police behavior, not the police themselves. On that note, I really urge you not to adopt the Bureau policy document today because we really haven't had a chance to have a discussion about that. No changes have been made based on community input, and we hope that will be delayed until after the IPR ordinance debate has concluded.
Thank you. Mayor, can I just clarify something?
Yeah.
Because I don't have the benefit of whatever record Dan is referring to. But, Dan, in your statement, you say that I made the assertion is to review the process and not the evidence. I think you'll recall that the question that I posed to you and others is whether the role was more in the nature of an appeals court or a trial court. And that has to do with whether you take new evidence or you review existing evidence. This quote to me is taken out of context because I clearly understand the role is to review the record that you're presented with, which includes testimony that has been given before. So, again, I don't have the benefit of this citation, but I think, in fairness, since I posed the question and did not make the assertion, I hope you understood that the question I was asking had to do whether you made the record or reviewed the record, not whether you are prohibited from reviewing the evidence, because this does not reflect my view.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I'm Miriam Gurman, and I'm not incredibly hip to all of the ongoings with the CRC, but my feeling about it is the more citizen oversight we can get with regards to police activity, the better we will be as a city. I can only think that if we had citizen oversight or more citizen oversight that actually mattered, we wouldn't have certain police officers still on the force who are continuing to assault people in Portland, and I know that there is a mother of one of those assault victims here today to speak to you. So my question to everyone is, how can we, without having more citizen oversight of the police bureau here, which is incredibly necessary, how can we continue to call our city like the number one sustainability city in the world or in the U.S.? I don't see sustainability happening when our police bureau is fighting its own citizens, and the citizens that they're fighting are peaceful people. This is a given. We don't need to prove it any further. We prove it every day when Occupy is on the streets. My feeling about it is if you're going to grow a green city, it's like growing food. You grow understanding, you grow solutions. But if you allow police brutality, that's equivalent to clear cuts. I don't see it as sustainable. I don't see any of the actions as a sustainable thing, and I reject the notion that we are a sustainable city because of that. And I'd like nothing more than to have Portland be able to grow and be in the face of the world as not only a sustainable city, but a city that respects its citizens and respects the wishes of its citizens who are a peaceful people to be treated peacefully. I had a meeting with a Native American here who asked that we take all of this in consideration and grow together. I know my time is up.
Thank you.
Yep.
Appreciate your testimony. Yep. Sir, can I ask for one extra minute, please?
Yes.
Thank you,
because
sir.
You have been devoting so much time to this.
I actually got a chance to finally get through all of this over the past few days, and I wanted to touch on a handful of different points.
Could you just state your name for the record, please?
My name is Remy. I represent myself and part of Occupy Portland. I'm a member of the medical team. As I've been reviewing over the 45 pages in this packet, a lot of it deals with a lot of use of force flexibility and trying to constrain some of that. And while normally I'd have specific quotes, unfortunately I don't have enough time to throw all those out there. There's a point where you actually agreed with the need for training and retraining, the use of force continuum, and the escalation of force matrix and de-escalation techniques. And I want to get an assurance that that actually will happen within the precincts and that those things will be implemented, because I was a little concerned with some of the wording where it said, for instance, where it says implement of appropriate disciplinary actions, especially pertaining to use of force, and especially when it leads to deadly force. The wording that actually kind of threw me was when employment law requires disciplinary action to be progressive in nature and commensurate with the policy violation. While severe discipline may be appropriate in some cases, it may not be involved in others. In context with what it was being talked about, we're talking about the use of deadly force in an improper manner where it does lead to a death. And in my eyes, officers need to be held to a different standard. We need officers to be held to a higher standard than you hold the public. These are the people that are going to be protecting us on the streets at any given moment. So we need these people to be spot on with what they're doing. And while they're not perfect beings, certain officers are unable to handle the responsibility of using a justifiable amount of force to be reasonable when applying that, they shouldn't be in that position. And that's just my personal opinion. That's just a subjective view after watching some of the things that have happened out in the streets over the past 60 days. Cutting down to some wording in there where it says the objective reasonableness standard. We're talking about things that are objective. Statistically, when you're talking about an individual in a given situation, in a high-risk, fast-paced, and a high-stress situation, you're asking a person to adhere to something called objective reasonableness. Most individuals are unable to stay objective in that kind of situation. There's a certain amount of subjectivity to any situation, and what we're asking for is if you're going to start implementing rules, that you're going to give them a guideline to work with. Again, that starts with retraining on that use of force continuum and the escalation of force, and those are things that a lot of us want to see implemented in our society. The philosophy of law of itself is laws are a reflection of society's values. Our society does not value or should not value violence over tempered judgment. So overall, justice is the higher value in any society.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Next
four
are Benjamin Manley, Scott Hibbets, Marcia Myers, and Shauna Gonzalez. And they'll be followed by Becky Strauss, Seth Johnson, Ashley Albies, and Debbie Iona.
Would you like to begin?
Yes. I have before me a written statement, which I went home and wrote after last week's meeting, which will be supplemented with some statistics, and I think you'll happily note does not contain the words Occupy Portland. And on that note, I was wondering if I could have an extra minute.
For what? No.
Okay. Thank you.
Unless you've been at the topics contained in these two council items for a long, long time, I've got to give everyone, before everyone gets exhausted, an opportunity to testify. So two
That's
minutes.
Fine. So first of all, I wanted to thank the city council members for listening to everyone today. I'm sure everyone would agree that we're glad to take part in this vital process.
Could you give me your name, please?
Oh, sorry, Benjamin Manley.
Thank you.
I support all the recommendations that move investigation of police action from the hands of the police bureau into the hands of the CRC, because I think it's been seen that police self-oversight is obviously not effective, and I have some examples here of why that seems to be true to me. I think everyone will recall the murder of Aaron Campbell by then Portland police officer Aaron Frashauer. If anyone is unfamiliar, I will remind everyone that Campbell was shot in the back with an assault rifle, resulting in what police referred to as a suicide by cop, marking yet another incident of young minorities being murdered by police officers who were never to face criminal charges. The story of Oscar Grant comes to mind. Grant was lying on the ground unarmed when he was executed by Bay Area Rapid Transit Police in Oakland. In such cases, including the murder of Aaron Campbell, police departments nationwide have almost universally fought against disciplinary action against the offending officers, effectively putting the interests of the officers in question above the general safety of the public. Stories like these are exactly why it should be considered unconscionable to offer police more flexibility and freedom from penetrating scrutiny. Specifically in a city such as Portland, which has an almost legendary reputation for being a very forward-thinking community, evidenced by the fact that even as we speak, hippies and anarchists are serving soup outside of Bank of America.
So what would be the final point you'd like to leave us with?
My point is this. I think it has been clear, and I have some statistics to prove this.
Your time is up, by the way. So write that up, make sure we get it. Appreciate your testimony. Sir?
My name is Scott Hibbets. I want to address not the complaint process, but the review process after an incident. I understand from reading the document last week that there is a policy for every time use of force happens for some sort of review. I imagine that there's a wide difference in terms of what kind of force. If the officer actually shoots somebody, there's probably a very big investigation and a much smaller one if we're talking about something smaller happening. And what I would like to suggest as a matter of policy for this is to consider some of the pepper spray and the beanbag guns and everything as take them more seriously as weapons, and to have the investigation be at pretty much the same level you would have if a gun were fired. So I think that is probably one of the things that I see happening with the use of these less lethal weapons is that they're not taken seriously. And so somebody will take out pepper spray and spray somebody without really thinking that they're using a weapon on somebody or without really thinking that it's something that's very, very serious. And so my suggestion is to add into the policy more at the investigation level, not even at the complaint level, but to add into that the notion that these weapons are actual weapons and they should be taken very seriously as opposed to considered to be something, you know, that can be ignored. Thank you.
And in the police bureau document, it says very much the same thing.
Okay.
So,
okay.
For example, in the community, we have complaints about officers that draw their gun but don't use it. That's now being... that's now something that will require review in the police bureau as a use of force. Mm-hmm. So take a look at the police bureau document.
Okay. May I ask, is that automatic or is that only when a complaint is filed?
It's now going to be automatic.
Great.
Yeah,
Thank you.
With their supervisor, which then allows us to keep statistics. So,
thank you.
Hi, welcome back.
Thanks. My name's Marcia Myers. I would like an extra minute because I'm a big talker, and I have been here before on this same issue.
Keep it to two. I've got lots of people behind you.
All right. First of all, thank you. This is an incredible time, a transformation time. I'm proud of Portland. I'm proud of all of you for listening and working with us to go as far as we can in this transformation. When James Chassie was killed, I happened to go to the demonstration that was saying, no, this shouldn't have happened. This was right after. They got me on TV. They asked me why I was there. I said, I'm a mother, a grandmother, and a teacher. I teach my children. I taught them for 30 years that the police were peacekeepers. They're our friends, Mr. Friendly or Officer Friendly. And then to have that kind of thing happen, which goes totally against that model. So I'm here asking you again to help change this model to a peacekeeping model rather than a fear-based model. My concern here is my own story, but how it's shining light on this whole issue. That's my daughter Lisa, who almost 4 years ago in April was accosted on the MAX by a police person because the ticket machine was broken. My daughter's incredibly sensitive. She reacted to that person and ran. She was thrown to the ground, her head was bashed in, and then she was arrested, handcuffed, and for 2 years pursued by our prosecution for though that she was the criminal. This went on for 2 years because it was Chris Humphreys. And I have to correct, I just want to make some corrections as a teacher here. On the paper I passed out, there are two of them, it says it's giving three major things that Humphreys was involved in, and Lisa's not even one of those. And James Chassie was 2006, not 2008. That's what that says.
So if you could make those corrections and submit them to the court.
Okay, and also...
your time is up.
I know.
And I'm letting you speak generally on because I want to respect that you have been back, but we're dealing with two specific council items today. And so I need to move on.
I want you to accept the commission's, of the citizens' review. I want you to accept them all. I think they are from the citizens.
We're considering those today.
The second letter is one I sent two years ago. I just want the people back there to know it because they got it too. Thank you for your patience.
You're welcome. Hi. Thanks for waiting.
My name is Shauna Gonzalez. I completely support giving more power to the Citizens Review Commission. I do not believe that the police should be given more flexibility or the authority to manage themselves because they have proven, especially over the last month, that that's just not something that they're capable of doing. Not all of them. They're not all bad. Not by far. I worked with law enforcement for 7 years, and not as a police officer, but as undercover security, making arrests. So I've been on that side of the fence, and I know how they feel. But I'm on this side of the fence now, and I know how I feel, and I know how my family back behind me feels, and Justin James Bridges. And I know how I felt when the police stepped aside and watched as a front loader tried to run me over at port number 5, and they did nothing. If they can't even step in front of a front loader that's trying to run me over because the person inside of it is angry, how are they going to manage themselves when it comes down to a tense situation between them and an occupier, or them or anybody else that tries to speak their mind? If they're there to protect us and they don't want us to see them as evil and scary and mean, then they need to protect us not only from themselves but from other citizens that may or may not be trying to harm us.
Is there something about these two council items you want to comment on?
Yes, that's why I think the Citizens Review Commission should be given more power. It is too police bias as far as the investigations go.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, next four. Thanks for your testimony, everybody.
Next four are Becky Strauss, Seth Johnson, Ashley Albies, and Debbie Iona. And they'll be followed by Greg Reed, Teresa Roberts, Mike Smith, and Joanne Hardesty.
Ms. Strauss, would you like to begin?
Thank you. Mayor Adams and commissioners, my name is Becky Strauss. I'm here on behalf of the ACLU of Oregon. I do appreciate the time that the council has taken to consider these issues and to hear from me again today. Again, I'll voice my support for CopWatch, National Lawyers Guild, League of Women Voters, and other stakeholders that will present their testimony today. I do want to take my time to just briefly address the memo from December 9th, particularly the proposed Amendment 3. I see it as limiting the scope and the type of information that the CRC can use on appeal. The ordinance in its current form affords the CRC unqualified authority to receive any oral or written statements offered in the course of their review. What I see Amendment 3 doing is constraining the committee in their use of this information. I think the new language is unnecessary and problematic to the independent functioning of the CRC. More generally, I want to touch on the use of this analogy that we're hearing repeatedly of the CRC as an appeals body.
May I ask you a question since before we lose that?
Sure.
I apologize for interrupting, but would you prefer that we delete that language that's part of Amendment 3?
Yes.
And then incorporate the proposed language? So would you prefer that we go back to the original language and delete the new language?
I'm looking at
the December 9th memo.
The December 9th memo where there's additional language.
The underlined portion which has been added to Amendment 3.
Right.
I just want to make sure I understand your position.
Yes.
Your preference would be we strike that new language?
Correct.
Okay. I just wanted to understand your position.
Touch briefly, and this is really to continue on support for that position on Amendment 3. I think that the analogy of the CRC as an appeals court is a risky one. What it does is in order to take that analogy, I think it requires the council to pick and choose which parts of the analogy it's going to use. Unlike a real appeals court, the CRC can receive oral and written statements from the complainant, the member, other officers, any other citizen. Also, appeals courts are the higher body over trial courts, so their decisions hold more weight than mere recommendations to a lower court. So I have trouble with the analogy. I don't think it holds up, but nevertheless, we're seeing it as the justification for scaling back the authority of the CRC. That's concerning, and I just wanted to put that on the record. Finally, from the stakeholders' perspective, I think the additional proposals in the December 9th memo are disappointing. We've seen, even from the beginning of these hearings, we're testifying about the council only really looking at about 3 of the stakeholders' recommendations. Now, after 3 full hearings, we're looking at only 4 more. Some are being described as clerical corrections, and one that I'm seeing actually looking to scale back the CRC.
So I have a question for you. Thank you for your testimony. If the ACLU is known for wanting everybody to have a fair trial or a fair hearing and a fair process, so if new information comes into the CRC and there's no opportunity to rebut that, why would you not want that to be sent back to IPR and IA and then come back to CRC after further investigation through the internal and independent reviews?
Well, I think there still can be an opportunity to send that back, and that's at the Citizen Review Committee's discretion to say this needs further investigation. But as we've heard from CopWatch, there are instances where I think it may be just an extra step. It's restricting the CRC more than it needs.
But how is it, if I could follow up, I mean, how is it you prevent someone from manipulating the process at the very end the safeguards are pretty limited to draw conclusions at that point based only on who shows up and what they say.
And in particular, both CopWatch and League of Women Voters say if that new information is uncontested, but as the mayor just said, how do we know, how does the person who has a new allegation, if they are not there, how do they then get to participate in giving their side of the story?
I mean, I think there are safeguards at the lower level as well. That I think there's still that risk still happens at the initial level. But what I would also say is that there's a further safeguard in that the CRC's decision is simply a recommendation. So it has a chance to go back and say, okay, this needs further investigation.
But for an oversight committee to draw a conclusion and send it back for recommendation, I mean, that is, from a variety of stakeholders through the process, it's hard to unring that bell.
I think that one way possibly to deal with that might be one of the recommendations that we're seeing from CopWatch is to not necessarily strike the new language, but to qualify a little bit so that it it's codifying some of that discretion from CRC to say, we think this might need verification and we'll send it back.
So I think we agree, because that was what I was asked Mary Beth Baptista about at the beginning, that that would go into the protocols, that once CRC hears new information, they send it back. But then there is a protocol that says that the independent review and internal affairs has to consider that and then has to send it back with a new findings to CRC.
Thank you. Sir.
Hi, my name is Seth Johnson, and I support the ability of the community to have as much oversight as possible. I support a healthy relationship between the community and the police department, and that is the best of both worlds. This sheet I received while I was sitting here in the audience. I can't imagine why Officer Chris Humphreys is still employed by the city of Portland. Clearly, we have a problem here. And as a citizen and a taxpayer, I strongly object to having to pay for the behavior of the police department. The police department holds the citizenry to account and to responsibility on a daily basis, and I am expected to meet my responsibility. When the city or when the police department overrides its responsibility, I then have to pay for the police, their fines, their lawsuits. That is not a two-way street. And I think that allowing the citizens to have more oversight and to the police, clearly, just by this page, is unable to oversee itself. There are our alternatives, and I think we should take them. And I think there's lots of opportunity for a better relationship, but it needs to start with Mr. Humphrey's removal that I can see. And I just learned about this gentleman today, and I'm offended that he's still working.
Thanks for your testimony.
Thank you.
Hi, welcome. Welcome back.
Good afternoon. My name is Ashley Albies. I'm co-chair of the Portland chapter of the National Lawyers Guild. Thank you again for hearing from the community on this very important issue. The NLG has been working on improving oversight of the Portland police for the past two decades. In 2000, we joined with 17 other stakeholders as part of the Mayor Katz work group. After several months of study and debate, this work group ultimately recommended the establishment of a civilian review board with subpoena power and the power to recommend but not impose discipline for demonstrated police misconduct. We were also members of the 2010 stakeholder group, which issued the 41 recommendations that have been discussed throughout these hearings. The majority report of the Mayor Katz work group was discarded by Mayor Katz, and from its ashes arose the dysfunctional PIAC system. That system was replaced by the IPR, the current IPR system, which was a modest improvement but riddled with serious issues as well. The stakeholder group in 2010, we were promised, was the process by which the IPR could be substantially improved to meet community objectives. The Guild has always and will always promote a system which provides effective, credible, and transparent review of police misconduct. Unfortunately, again, as with our experience as with the Mayor Katz work group, the recommendations of the stakeholder group have been largely ignored. We do want to express our appreciation that the CR3, that with these proposed changes, the CRC authority to make policy recommendations is expanded, and we appreciate that. But we still do have practical concerns about the standard of review issue, about the CRC standards of review. We continue to believe that preponderance of the evidence is a practical and understandable standard, preferable to reasonable person in current practice. Regarding Amendment 3, which the ACLU spoke about and which Cop Watch spoke about as well, we support that as well. We want to urge the council not to restrict the CRC's authority to hear additional evidence. It appears to be a disempowering change, the language as currently drafted. And I just want to say very briefly, I know I'm out of time, but the Occupy and the Tea Party movements, too, have grown out of dissatisfaction with government as usual. We urge you to hold off this vote until there can be a meaningful community and government dialogue about how best to serve the community and take a meaningful step towards a credible, transparent, and effective oversight system.
Where does it show me? You're a lawyer. Where does it? It doesn't say absolutely the committee can hear new information. It says it right there in terms of Amendment Number 3. You just said that this amendment doesn't allow them to hear new evidence. As the crafter of the amendment, I can assure you those are not the facts.
I don't have the ordinance in front of me. I apologize.
Okay. We'll talk about it when everyone's testimony is done.
And briefly, also, I noticed an error in our testimony, and I'd like to replace that. I just want to go on record as saying that.
Was that last part?
We submitted written testimony, and I noticed an error, and I'd like to go back and replace that. And I'll also identify the provisions more concisely. So thank you for your time.
I know that others have said that, but as the author of the amendment, it actually isn't there. Hi, welcome back.
Thank you. I prepared 3 minutes. Is that okay?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm Debbie Iona, representing the League of Women Voters of Portland. The League appreciates the time and attention council and especially the mayor have devoted to considering IPR ordinance changes. It is disappointing, however, that some of the significant amendments supported by the CRC, longtime observers of the system, and the community have not yet been incorporated. The mayor's recommended changes would benefit from some refinement. Amendment 3 clarifies that CRC may hear new information at an appeal hearing, but that the information would trigger additional investigation. In cases where an undisputed fact is presented, additional investigation is unnecessary and a waste of time. Revise the proposed language so that if IPR and CRC agree no additional information is needed to confirm the new information, CRC will make its recommended findings based on the evidence and conclude the hearing. If council is unwilling to take that step, you should not amend this part of the ordinance. Doing so would create a fundamental change in the CRC's powers and unjustifiably weaken its authority. Amendment 4 should include language making available to council all new information presented at a CRC appeal hearing, including such items as documents and photographs. Council should not have its access limited solely to audio tapes, as the proposed language states. There are other minor amendments needed to clear up historically problematic provisions. The ordinance should state that the CRC chair or a designated representative is required to approve the written notification of the CRC's recommended findings the IPR director sends to the Bureau. The auditor's proposed language does not clearly state that the CRC will present its recommended findings when an appeal goes before council. Add the following: the committee shall present its recommendations before council. Other significant recommendations for ordinance changes continue to merit your consideration. The standard of review, staff support for the CRC, the need for a conference committee, the types of cases IPR should conduct independently, recategorization of allegations, and others are based on recommendations by participants or close observers of the system. We urge you to address these items now while the ordinance is under review. It may be years before another opportunity presents itself. Finally, in an email to Portland Cop Watch and the League, the mayor committed to drafting a work plan for further improvements to the Police Bureau once the Department of Justice investigation is complete. The work plan should also include non-ordinance-related IPR and CRC policies. Thank you. And then I just want to respond briefly to your comment when you were addressing Dan Handelman. We also heard that the statement about CRC only having the power to review the process in a personal meeting we had with the mayor and the deputy city attorney. So we're hearing that from you, from other places.
So, Debbie, I had a comment and a question, if I could, Mayor. First, you've been tireless in pursuing this issue. You've been very clear and articulate about your concerns, and I appreciate the time you've spent privately with me sharing those concerns. We've had like 4 lengthy hearings, I think, and there's been a lot of testimony, and I think we're all trying to work through this in good faith. But I just want to clarify my understanding on that point. As I read the documents before us, there is the role of the CRC is to review the record below, and that contains evidence, that contains statements, that contains various different kinds of things. We've had a very thoughtful discussion, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, about whether the CRC should be able to develop new evidence expand the record. But I just want to be clear, because I don't have the 100 pages of transcript in front of me to cite to the one of many things I probably said that were dumb and ill-informed late in the day. But that I think we all recognize that the CRC is going to review the record, which contains evidence. The question we're struggling is with, and it's a good question, is how much additional evidence finding, making, how much additional evidence can come in at that stage, and what are the protections that we want to build into that evidence. And as I listen to all the thoughtful lawyers and non-lawyers who have addressed that, I think that's at the heart of our discussion. But I don't want anyone to have the misunderstanding that in saying that you are reviewing the record, it is simply just policing the process. Because policing the process inherently includes reviewing the record. And I've never heard any of my colleagues say that, and I hope I haven't said that, because it would be a misreading of the very document that we're discussing. But the other question I wanted to ask you is, in my extensive file here, I was going back to some early testimony of yours back in November, and you said that the auditor's proposed changes, the IPR ordinance are a step forward, and you later referred to them as positive changes. Do you still believe that, notwithstanding these additional improvements, you want us to consider that we're making progress?
Small progress. A little progress, yeah. I mean, I think that the things that we're moving forward on are, you know, somewhat minor, but important. I mean, I think it's, you got to keep going. It's just, you know, those of us who've been at this for, you know, more than 10 years, you know, we were sort of hoping for a little bit of a transformational change at this point, and I don't think that's where we are headed.
A year ago. Thank you. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. The next four.
Next four are Greg Greed, Teresa Roberts, Mike Smith, and Joanne Hardesty. And they'll be followed by Teresa Rayford, Tad Hess, Jennifer Alexander, and Wayne Elliott.
Hi, welcome. Would you like to begin?
Yes, I'm Greg Greed. I'd like to address, I think the Citizens Review Board needs to actually be given a lot more power. And I base that on the fact that as a business owner in Washington, I live in Oregon, but a business owner in Washington, I'll often try to get some of my patients to come to Oregon for various services because there's a closer person in Portland that can service them, or they can get a product in Portland that's not available over in Washington just because nobody over there happens to be carrying it. And I hear a lot of people saying they don't want to cross this bridge. They don't want to come over to Oregon simply because they don't want to be harassed by the police in Portland. They don't want to be pulled over because if they're pulled over, the police are rude. The police are, you know, intimidating in the way they interact with the public. It's a negative impact on commerce for Portland that the police aren't under control and that they treat the general public so poorly. It doesn't help the city, and it doesn't help our image. It's just not a good thing for the city of Portland. With that, I'd like to see the Citizens Review Board actually get more power, and that if they find an action of the police so grossly negligent in what they've done, or that they can actually say, no, we want that officer fired. Not we recommend it, but he needs to lose his job. Clearly, there needs to be a way for the officers to come back if there's new evidence to say, wait, no, you know, this wasn't presented, at which case they could look at rehiring them. If they were fired and then inappropriately, they could get back pay as if they were put on paid leave. But we need to bring accountability back so that Portland can start getting good commerce again.
Thank you for your testimony. I appreciate it. Hi, welcome back.
Hi, my name is Teresa Roberts. I'm here supporting the Occupy movement. I want to thank those of you who are present. I would like to note that Dan Saltzman is again absent from this hearing, although we did specifically ask you to expect us, and we did express how important this is to the community. You can tell that the citizenry of Portland is beginning to take an active interest in this. I would urge you not, and I did notice that he was able to be here for wealthy business owners who were trotting out a highly commendable plan, but I noticed he was able to be here to compliment them, but he was not able to stay for what I consider to be very important portion of this day. And thank you, Mr. Leonard, for being here today, although you had to be absent last week. I knew you were here for the prior two discussions. I have to say that it is clear from the condition of our economy, our country, and the massive display of police brutality across the country at this time that the police cannot monitor themselves. If this is how they behave when lots of cameras are trained on them, and they know that lots of cameras are trained on them, then they clearly simply cannot control themselves. And we are very concerned about how they are behaving when those cameras are not trained on them. And we are watching. And this is very important. This should not be a rushed vote. This should not be a half measure. And I do not think it's ready for a vote. And I think that as these hearings continue, we will continue to see attendance at these meetings grow, which can only be good for the City Council and Portland at large. Thank you for your time, and thank you for being here.
Thanks for being here.
And thank you, Ms. Fritz, for staying last week.
Hi, welcome back.
Hello, I'm Mike Smith, and I'm here representing myself. We are Change Portland and Occupy Portland's media. I support any citizen review of police for two reasons. I was promised by Lieutenant King, who's sitting right over there, that officers would be displaying their name tags at all times. It's actually one of the department's rules, and at the time, he told me that it was actually a law that they have to display their name tags. I have seen women shoved. I've been hit myself by police officers that have no name tags. No one should be allowed to have anonymity when they're beating on someone, period. The second reason why I support any citizen's review of police is this little reason here. I was at Szymanski Park with my camera when the police are pushing everyone out of the park. I want to remind you that I'm holding my camera the whole time this happens. I was shoved twice by a cop. I turned around to get away from him, and I start running. He grabs my backpack and starts beating me on the back until we finally get about, maybe 20 yards away, and there's this little foot and a half high concrete wall. He shoves me into it, jams his knee in my back, falls down in the process, gets back up, leaps in the air, and comes down on me with both of his knees. There's video evidence of this. Channel 8 News has it. And the thing that really, really angers me the most about this, Mr. Mayor, okay, is the simple fact that I was not arrested. If I was doing something wrong, I want them to arrest me. But don't beat me up and not arrest me. That's ridiculous. That's all I have to say.
Well, I hope you'll file a complaint. Ms. Hardesty, welcome back.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor, City Commissioners. For the record, I'm Joanne Hardesty, and I'm here to speak in support of the 41 recommendations that the stakeholders made as part of the four-month process of reviewing oversight of the police through the IPR and the CRC process. I also want to thank you. Actually, this is like kind of new that we would actually have four hearings on the exact same thing over and over and over again. So I think this is good. This is good because what's happening is the public is having experiences that they want to then come and share with their elected leadership. And so I'm glad that the mayor and the city council are seeing the importance of actually doing these meetings again and again so that you get more input. I also want to say that many of the people here today have never been here before, and so I wonder what it would feel like for a community member to, for the first time, come to their city council and see armed police officers at the door that they have to come in, and then see armed officers standing at both entries to the city council chambers. I think that sends a message that's very clear, and so I'm concerned that you're having forum meetings, but then you put barriers in the way for people actually fully participating, because some people are intimidated by those uniforms. And so if they were going to come, they probably didn't come because of the armed guards at the door. I think part of police accountability is really having community members have certainty that when the police act inappropriately, that there is a process in place that will handle their complaints in a timely, respectful manner. Just like the gentleman who was sitting next to me, I had an experience as well with cops shoving me, but there were cops around him that were smart enough to tell him that if people are doing what you ask them to do, then don't shove people around.